Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you do love us, you care for us, that we can trust you even when things are hard, even when things are scary. We can trust you even when other people are scared and we wonder if we should be. Thank you that we can trust in you and know that you are big and strong and powerful and that you are looking after us. Thank you so much for this. Help us to keep trusting in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's come to our God in prayer as we come to his word. Let's pray. Our Lord, we do thank you that you have spoken and that you speak words of comfort to us. Words of comfort in our distress. Words of assurance in times of uncertainty. We pray that these words would comfort us and cheer us on. Lord, that we would fix our eyes on Jesus and remember all that you have promised us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it takes a lot to convince me to interrupt my normal sermon series and do something special, something different. I don't tend to do it for Mother's Day or Father's Day or Anzac Day, though those things will generally feature in my prayers. But the last few weeks, this week in particular, has driven me to it. It wasn't that long ago that I wasn't paying too much attention to the novel coronavirus or COVID-19. It was over there. And as far as I was aware, the death rate, it wasn't too bad. But then things started to change. Information started to come through. And it turned out that this was a virus that was easily spreadable. It was locking down entire communities and now countries. The death rate seems to be worse than the normal flu. Restrictions for gatherings. New ways of greeting. Others in the shop panicking. Entire industries shut down. Even if you wanted to, COVID-19 isn't something that you can ignore. It feels to me, it feels a bit like a slow motion September 11. In 2001, the disaster there was instantaneous and life was then changed forever. New laws, wars, changes to air travel, wall-to-wall constant news coverage for I don't know how long, all in a response to that tragic event, that tragic day. But this has been a disaster building since around November, December. And its impact on daily life is growing exponentially. And it's no great surprise that people are afraid. They have family and friends overseas. They can't get the groceries they need, and they've even seen fights at the shops. In a press conference this past week, Prime Minister Scott Morrison talked about this bulk buying, this panic buying. He said, "This is not who we are as a people." He said it was un-Australian. But actually, that's not true. You see, it's very Australian because it's very sinful. Australians took great pride in themselves and how they came together during the bushfires, generously providing donations of whatever we could. When the crisis was over there, we were happy to help in whatever way we could. But when the crisis now threatens to engulf us, well, it's every man and woman for themselves. Fear and our response to it exposes our sinful hearts. And so how should we respond? What would God have us do at this moment? When the world goes crazy, when they give in to fear, how should we? We, a church that has been purchased by God, loved by God, purified by God, how should we respond? Well, that's a question that has many answers. But as we look at this psalm, we'll focus on what's one of the most fundamental responses, which will drive all the other responses, all the other ways that the Bible calls us to respond. Psalm 121 calls us to find your hope in God. Find your hope in God. It's simple to say, but in times like this, it can be difficult to do. If you're not a Christian and you're struggling in this time of uncertainty, keep your ears open. Keep your ears open. Hear the hope that God's word now offers you. The reality is there is hope in this time of crisis. God is to be our hope because of who he is. As we work through our way through this psalm, we come to our first heading, now in verses 1 to 2. Hope in your mighty Creator. Hope in your mighty Creator. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now, just before that, you can see the title of the psalm there. A Song of Ascents. Now, there's a little bit of debate about what that means, but most likely this and the other 14 psalms, which are labelled as Songs of Ascent, most likely these are the psalms that the people would be singing as they were approaching Jerusalem on their way there to celebrate one of the great feasts that God had given them in the law. Was this psalm written in a time of crisis in Israel? Maybe. But it's also possible that as God's people came together to feast and to rejoice in God's goodness and to confess their sins and find forgiveness, that this was actually the perfect time to think and to consider what reality really was. These pilgrims were approaching Jerusalem, the city of God, the capital of his old covenant kingdom. They'd look and see his temple there on the heights, majestic, glorious, the palace of the true king. And no matter where they had been putting their hopes before, now they could see where their help really comes from, their hope, where that really came from. We see all around us a world that hasn't placed their trust in the Lord who made heaven and earth. Many people don't actually realize that they have placed their trust in something, but they have. And all these things that people have placed their trust in have been shown to be untrustworthy. What have they put their hopes in? Well, one hope that seems to be assumed in people without consciously thinking about it, they just assume it, is that nothing can stop progress. Nothing can stop our society. Things will continue as they always have, and while there'll be a minor bump every now and then, that's something that we can weather. Food will always be on the shelves. China will always be selling cheap products that we can buy and sending them all around the world. We'll always be able to go to the movies or to the sport or some other mass gathering. Society will continue on as normal. The world will continue as normal. That's always been in the backs of our minds one of our world's most foundational hopes. But that hope is unreliable. God has shown us through this virus that the world can be shut down completely. Mass job loss. Supply interruptions from China and other places around the world, being unable to cross international borders. Where can we find our hope? Well, not in this world. Only in God. Only in the one who made this world by the word of his power in the space of 6 days. Why can we trust him? Because he's powerful. He made all things from nothing. Once there wasn't a single atom, a single neutron or proton or electron, not a single one. And then God spoke. And what he spoke came into existence. His word is powerful. His word achieves what he wants it to achieve. Remember Isaiah 55:11? God says that his word shall accomplish whatever he pleases. It's his word which sustains the world and keeps it turning. Hebrews 1:3, Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. Find your hope in God, your mighty creator. His word is powerful and it achieves everything that he has promised. Second, hope in your unsleeping God. Verses 3 and 4. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. As we journey along this life, making our pilgrimage through this world, will our foot move underneath us? Will it slip? Will we stumble? Well, this psalm gives us a straight answer, doesn't it? No. Will we slip? No, we won't. Why? Because the unsleeping God won't let us. Won't let us stumble. Won't let us be moved. Now, does that mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen to us? That we can therefore be irresponsible, not isolating ourselves when we've been in contact with someone who's got the virus? Can we ignore all the advice of the health department and know that God won't let us get sick? Is that what we're being promised? Sounds a bit similar to another story, doesn't it? It's similar to the temptation of what Jesus experienced in the wilderness. Satan took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." See, Satan quotes a different psalm than what we're looking at here, but the idea is similar. Protection from harm. But Jesus doesn't listen to what Satan has to say because he knows that actually what Satan, how Satan is interpreting that, that's not actually what's promised. It's not an absolute promise. It's not a promise that nothing bad will ever happen to you if you trust in God. And how could it be? The book of Job would be very different if that were true. Or the lives of Joseph, Daniel, Peter, Paul, Jesus himself. This isn't promising that nothing bad will ever happen to God's people. But in the midst of the turmoil and the trouble, our God doesn't sleep. He never nods off in the afternoon. His eyes never struggle to stay open. He's always looking, always caring, always guarding. And here's the promise. If you are one of God's people, your eternity is safe. That's the promise. See, what did Jesus promise in John 6? All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Or think of Paul's words in Romans 8, "Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We don't know what this world has in store for us. We don't know if we'll be able to get everything that we need or everything that we want at the shops. We don't know how many breaths we have been given in this life. We don't know what the cause of our deaths will be. But for those of us who belong to Jesus, we are safe. Our eternity is sure, and it is secure. And this is the promise of the unsleeping God. He will not allow our foot to be moved. As we're on our journey from this life to the next, our way is secure. Our steps are planned by Him. The future is unknown to us, but known to Him. And He loves us with a love so great that He sent His Son to die for us, to bring forgiveness for sin. That is how much He loves us. He's our unsleeping God. He never takes a day off from keeping His promises. He never gets distracted. He preserves our eternity. We're in His hands. And His eyes of care and love and protection, they are always on us. So find your hope in God. And this psalm tells us, hope in your mighty Creator. Hope in your unsleeping God. And now verses 5 to 8 urge us, hope in your eternal Keeper. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The terrors of the night and the terrors of the day will have no power over God's people, because He Himself is their shade. He is their keeper, their guard, their strength. The sun and the moon, meaning the entirety of life, every single threat against God's people will have no power over them, because God is our eternal keeper. Now again, that doesn't mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen to us. I've noticed during this time of fear that even faith healers are being careful. Bethel Church in California is not a church that I recommend at all. I think it has bad teaching, which causes real damage to people. They have a faith healing ministry. And they believe that if you have enough faith, you can be healed of anything. Now, just a side note. Imagine going to them and asking for healing and nothing happened. Where would the blame be there? The blame would be on you, because you didn't have enough faith. This is a dangerous theology. It is damaging. Don't fall for things like that. Now, this church, which claims to believe in healing, that God brings health to His people who have enough faith, they stopped sending their members to hospitals on faith healing missions, as they call them. Now, no doubt by now they would have been forced to stop that, but at the time I read an article that they had voluntarily stopped this. Here's what they said. "Healing happens, but it's foolish to take unnecessary risks with your health and the health of others. Why, if God heals those who have enough faith, it doesn't sound as though they have much faith at all. But when we realise what God really promises, we can have faith, real faith. Our soul will be preserved." Is your hope in God? Do you know the one who died to save us from the true disease? The true disease from which every other disease and tragedy springs. It was our sin. Our rebellion against God that brought about all the turmoil and the disease and the evil in our world. The root cause of COVID-19 is sin. And Jesus paid the penalty for sin, defeating it when he died on the cross and rose again. Do you want real hope? Hope that the world cannot give? Then come to Jesus. But here's the thing. He only gives forgiveness of sin and a sure hope of eternal life to those who turn away from their sin, giving themselves completely to him. If you want to keep living your life for yourself, well, you'll get nothing from God. But if you bend the knee to your mighty Creator, the unsleeping God who keeps his people, then you will be eternally safe, gloriously free from the panic of this world. You'll know that this life isn't all there is, that the next life in God's very presence is so much better. You won't feel the need to panic by because your life is secure. If you haven't already, give yourself to Jesus and find your hope in God. If you already have this hope, keep holding on. There are going to be many times, no doubt, in the coming days, weeks, months, where it will be tempting to give way to fear. When it's hard to get groceries. As the news is constantly talking about this thing that has taken over the world. If they can't even play footy with no spectators, but they actually need to completely shut down the game. If our church services need to stop, like so many others have in Bendigo and Australia and around the world. As we're bombarded over and over by this one thing, it is so easy for our minds to be fixated on that one thing. But instead of meditating on COVID-19 and instead of filling your mind with it by constantly getting all those terrible updates, fix your minds and your thoughts on God, on the love that he has shown you through Jesus, on the hope that you have of eternal life, forever in his glorious presence, free from pain and sickness and heartache and death. Find your hope in God. He is the one we can truly trust. Let's bring our prayers to this one that we can trust. Let's pray. Our God, what a joy it is that we can be people with a true and living hope, because Christ has risen from the dead, guaranteeing our inheritance, guaranteeing our own resurrection. We thank you for your Spirit who lives in us, working in us, encouraging us, giving us this hope, pointing us to you. Our Lord, calm our fears. And when we are fearful, may we come to you in prayer, knowing that you are sovereign, that you reign over all things. Lord, calm our hearts. Draw people to yourself, even through this crisis, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.